Well, as we return to Exodus chapter 20, this morning we'll be visiting and looking at and examining verses 8 to 11. So go ahead and be finding that in your Bibles. And that's verses 8 to 11 this morning as we continue on through these Ten Commandments. As we've been singing this morning and meditating on the Word and calling our hearts to the Lord, we sang a few common themes. We go all the way back to Glorious Christ, and we kept singing, Glorious Christ, you are my what? Greatest delight. Right? And then we just sang the 62nd Psalm, and it talks as we sing in the chorus several times, oh, praise Him, hallelujah, my delight and my reward. So I'm just bringing these to mind, asking you as we prepare to go in His Word and look at this commandment and talk about and think about as we go through this, what the delight in this commandment, delight in the Lord. Because we even sang, come thou fount, right? And in that song, there's these verses that confess that it's about the heart, but the heart wanders. And so we need God's grace to come and tune it, right? Turn it. What means might God use to tune our hearts to delight in Him? What are His means? Not ours. What are His? So be thinking about those things, brothers and sisters, as we meet the Lord, hear His Word, in our passage this morning. Exodus 20, the word of the Lord to us says this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to present ourselves to you in service to you and worship to you. And Father, a large part of this is always you speaking to us. We give you worship, but you give us so much in blessing us with your word of truth. You owe us nothing, but you reveal yourself over and over through your word. So, Father, as we come before you and open our hearts and minds, just lay them before you and say, Lord, speak. Lord, teach. Lord, make me more like Christ. Lord, prepare me more for heaven. I pray that you would use your word to do all these things in us. We can't. It's all by grace. So, Lord, we ask for a great measure of your grace this morning. Father, there's just glorious truth of you. And I can't craft words that will reveal this, but you can speak. Father, speak. And in so doing, draw us closer to you, the greatest of all delights. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we come to the fourth commandment. As we've already been through the previous three, right? Remember, we've looked at no other gods. We've looked at that you shall not make or have any images of our God. And we've looked last week at don't take the Lord's name in vain. And today we come to this commandment of remembering or keeping the Sabbath. The commandment that has the most verses of all the commandments given to us, by the way. It's the largest. Now, this isn't the first time we've talked about this, is it? Not the first time we've examined the Sabbath. Matter of fact, it wasn't that long ago that the Lord brought us to this in His Scripture. Remember when the Lord provided manna in the wilderness to His people, and a large part of His instruction for how they were to collect the manna involved this concept, this truth of Sabbath keeping. So it wasn't that long ago. Yet, by God's providence, we're here again, right? By the perfect will and mind of the Lord, He has brought us before Him to teach us again about this concept and commandment of Sabbath keeping. And I, for one, am very thankful for this, because out of all the commandments, this one is the most challenging to me many times, because this is the one that seems to have the most questions. This is the one that just cries out for clarification in my mind. And as I said before, even in my own lifetime, I've seen the idea of Sabbath keeping change and morph and, you know, just change into all kinds of different things right before my eyes by the people of the Lord, no doubt. So it cries for clarification, so I'm thankful that we're here again before the Lord. So, based on that, I want us to really just try to clarify, through the word of the Lord this morning, this commandment of Sabbath keeping, this commandment of remembering the Sabbath. So what I want to do is just go through it and use these three questions that's been so good to us of what, why, and how with this commandment. What, why, and how with the Sabbath. So we begin with what? What is it? What does it mean? What is the Sabbath, right? What is remembering the Sabbath all about? Well, I think it's safe to say if we start from a high up view and just an aerial view and look down, it obviously involves the idea of taking one day out of seven and it being different from all the rest of the days. Do you see that? Right? You've got 6 days that you do what you normally do, whatever that is. And then the seventh day is set aside. It's set apart and it's different. Now, that's just a very high view, right? So really the Lord's calling us and teaching us to live a life with this kind of rhythm. 6 days and then one. 6 days and then one. 6 days and then one. You get that, right? But then you have to ask, okay, then what's different about this day? What's it set aside for? Well, we all know, right, that the Sabbath is a day for what? Rest. We get the concept immediately just from the name Sabbath itself, right? Because the Sabbath means to rest or to cease. To cease from what you were doing, to stop. So obviously rest is a big concept, and you see it in the instructions. It says 6 days you shall what? Do all your work, but on the seventh day, right? What will you do? You shall not do any work. So there's obvious instructions, rest from your work. So the Sabbath is to be a day of rest, relaxation, recuperation. It's a day, brothers and sisters, that you step back from, close that calendar, right? You go off the clock. You take that to-do list and you fold it up and put it away. And you step out of the frenzy and you rest. You stop. Something different, right? Now, I want to point this out. It's sort of a side note, but not really. Because you can easily miss this. This isn't the point of the commandment, but it's here. Notice that for 6 days, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to work. It's right there. 6 days you shall do all your work. I point that out because it shows that work is of the Lord. He calls us to work. Work's not a bad thing, right? The world sees work sometimes as part of the curse of the fall. And it's not, right? The Lord created us for work. He's called man to work. It's part of our purpose. So to diligently keep the Sabbath, work's a part of it. Right? You're to perform with your hands the labor that is good so that you may have something to share with those in need. You are to work. Right? And that includes you too, kids. When you're old enough to work, you ought to be working. Serving. Doing something useful. That's what work is. We got our idea of work all messed up. I talked about this with the men a little bit. The Industrial Revolution has caused us to completely misunderstand what work is. We think work is that which you get a paycheck for and nothing else. And that's just not true. And then therefore the person with the biggest paycheck has the work of most value. That's not true, right? Some of the most God-glorifying work that will ever be done and is done on this earth will never, ever receive a paycheck, right? Work is using your hand, not being idle and slothful and looking for ways to avoid work. 6 days you shall labor and do what's useful, right, to bring God glory with your hands, what He's called you to do. So you can't really keep the Sabbath if you're not stopping from doing anything. And all you're doing is avoiding it, right? You hear that? 6 days you shall work. That's the idea. And then in the seventh day, you stop that. You take a break. You rest, you recuperate. And then you start thinking, don't we? Got questions. What does that mean? And in the Sabbath, we just sleep all day or sit on the couch and stare at the wall and, you know, counting flowers on the wall. You remember that old song? No. It's not what it means. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking a nap if you need one, right? You're tired from all your work, take a nap, recuperate. But the day of rest is not just about doing nothing, inactivity. That's not the thought at all. Rest is a ceasing from your normal routine. Therefore, the Sabbath is also a day of worship. Understand that. Where do you get that? Well, it comes with the idea first here, but it's remember the Sabbath to what? Keep it holy. Now, the idea of keeping something holy, when you look at it in the Bible, the idea is you set it apart for the exclusive purpose of service and worship to the Lord. Right? When you keep something holy, you set it apart, it's for exclusively worshiping the Lord. You get that idea when you look at the tabernacle and the temple and the utensils that were what? Sanctified. They were set apart and kept holy. What did that mean? Well, that meant they were used in the worship of the Lord and nothing else. And if they were ever used for anything else, they were considered defiled and no longer holy. So the idea here is you're setting aside a whole day unto the Lord as holy for Him, for the worship of the Lord. You also see that idea here when it says that 6 days of your labor, do all your work, but 7 days of the Lord is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. It's a rest, a seat of the Lord. Some translations say to the Lord. So you've got this idea of you got to have a day set apart of the Lord or to Him. You know, Sabbath was used to be regularly called the Lord's Day. Well, that's why. This is the Lord's Day. As you see Sabbath, the idea go away, you don't even hear that much anymore. But it used to be regularly referred to as the Lord's Day. That's why, because you're giving Him a day. You're worshiping Him with this day. And then, okay, then we got questions, right? Well, what does that mean? Does that mean we're at church all day? No, it does not mean that. However, corporate worship should be a central part of Sabbath keeping. In fact, in Leviticus, the Sabbath is referred to as a holy convocation. A holy convocation is corporate worship. So a big part of your Sabbath, it should be centered around gathering with the saints and giving glory and honor and worship to the Lord. This is a huge part of Sabbath keeping. However, that's not all of it, right? What else should it involve? Well, it should involve giving time to the Lord in prayer, giving time to the Lord in His Word, meditating on that Word, memorizing some of that Word for Scripture. How about singing songs of praise to the Lord? We're practicing for heaven. We ought to get some practice in singing praises to the Lord. Catch up on your spiritual reading, whatever it is that causes you to give time to the Lord and refresh your soul in Him is what you are doing as a day of worship, right? Drawing near to the Lord. We kind of heard that truth this morning. The Puritans actually called this day the market day for the soul. You get that? There used to be the truth that there was a market day every week, right? There was one day that you would go to the market to get everything you needed for the stomach, for the home, whatever. But this is the market day of the soul. This is the day every week you go to the Lord and get what you need for the refreshment of the soul. That's what it means to set aside a day to the Lord. Worship Him. Go to Him. Be refreshed in Him. Stop your normal work. That's good work. But go and worship Him. Now, in order to do this, brothers and sisters, you can't just turn it on and off. You know, you go to bed on the end of the sixth day and just in the world and of the world and get up and time to worship the Lord. The heart's not inclined to that, right? It's just a slow process. It's like trying to take a car and you're going this direction and then you want to stop and turn it on a dime, right? You got to prepare the heart the night before. You got to start remembering, oh, the Sabbath's coming tomorrow. What's the purpose of that? One of the Puritans, Thomas Watson, said it like this. He said, when Saturday evening approaches, sound a retreat. Call your minds off from the world and summon your thoughts together to think of the great work of the approaching day. Evening preparation will be like the tuning of an instrument. It will fit the heart better for the duties of the evening Sabbath. So the Sabbath is a day for worship. We're called to worship well. That takes preparation. So you've got this Sabbath as a day set apart for rest, for worship. There's another purpose. It's very related to worship. As a matter of fact, it is, but I want to set it apart and distinguish it. And it's that of remembering. We talk about it. The Lord's been showing us this, the purpose of remembering. And it's that idea is sewn right into the fabric of this commandment, isn't it? Remember the Sabbath. Now God calls us to remember it because we're prone, like the Israelites, to forget. We can forget that we are to set aside a day to the Lord. We can forget that we even need a day to be refreshed in the Lord. We can forget how worthy He is of a day. We can forget all these things. And so the Lord calls us immediately to remember the Sabbath. Remember it. 6 days, remember it. But then there's another aspect to this remembering, right? We're also called to use this day to remember the Lord, who He is, and what He's done. We are to use this day to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace that's extended to us through Him and what He's done. It's not explicitly told us here in these verses, but if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, where the Ten Commandments are repeated, it tells us this explicitly in the commandment. It says there, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Did you hear that? You are to remember. So like the Israelites are to remember back and remember what? Their salvation, how the Lord saved them from bondage and out of Egypt and brought them into the promised land. We as Christians on this side are to use this day to remember the Lord, bringing us out of the bondage of sin, bringing us into the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would even add that as we remember what the Lord has done for us in Christ, we also remember the complete think forward to the complete fulfillment of this and what it will be like in glory forever. This is the perfect opportunity to meditate on the truth of the gospel and what this means. You ever wish you had more time to do that? There's an actual another purpose here, I think, woven in our text. I want to at least point this out. It's a day for teaching. Here's what I mean. Notice who's not supposed to work. You aren't. But then who else isn't supposed to? Your sons and your daughters. Your male servants and your female servants aren't supposed to. Even your cattle, even your burdens of beasts. And those sojourners who are visiting with you. So the idea here is not only are you not to work, but you are responsible for everybody else under your care. Do you see that? You're at least not to be the reason that they break the Sabbath, right? You're not to, oh, I'm going to rest. You go out there in the field and take care of what needs to be done. No, you call them to rest as well. Now, you can't make a horse drink, right? You can't make somebody honor the Sabbath the way it's intended to be. But you sure can lead them to the water, right? And that's what you're called to do here. You're responsible for setting this aside for everybody under your watch care. And therefore, to do that, you got to teach them why you're doing what you're doing, right? You don't just, well, we're going to rest because that's what we're supposed to do. No, you need to, what are you doing? You got to know what you're doing first and why you're doing it. And then you teach everybody underneath you and encourage them to do the same thing. So this has implications all over, doesn't it? Employers, right? If you have employees under you, what do you do with the people under you? Do you allow them, give them that day off to seek the Lord and encourage them to seek the Lord? Can't make them do it, but you sure can't keep them from it. What about when you have visitors in your home on the Sabbath? What do you do with them? Sometimes they're special guests. You haven't seen them in years. There is a tendency, isn't it, to make the day about them? We might even want to separate ourselves from the worship of the Lord altogether that day and just delight in them. Don't do that. Call them to honor the Lord with you. Bring them with you, of course. But the day's for the Lord. It's not them, right? And then, of course, it can't be unmissed, right? Your children. How are you fathers? How do you set the agenda for your children to remember the Sabbath? How are you teaching them? This is a perfect opportunity. As the Lord was just revealing to me in this passage, it's like, wow. Here's a perfect opportunity for me to bring my children into my relationship with the Lord. That's a perfect opportunity for me to bring them along and say, this is who the Lord is and this is why I do what I do. Let me show you. It's a perfect opportunity to have a family day. We all love those family times and family days, but instead of making it about and centering it around some worldly activity, which is what we like to do, including myself, why don't we have a family day every week and center it around the most important thing, and that's the Lord? So you got this seventh day. 6 days you work, seventh day you stop. You rest, you cease, but you worship. And in that worship, you rest. And then you teach everybody under you why you do what you do and lead them to the Lord. Right, he's got to do the saving, he's got to do the leading, but you can encourage them and bring them along. So here's the what, brothers and sisters. Now, actually, I could go into more. You could use it as a day of mercy and service unto the Lord. It all falls under one of these things we've already talked about. But this is enough to chew on, all right, for a while. So let's move to the why. Why should I do this? Well, as we've seen in the last two commandments, the reason, the purpose is built right into our commandment, right? The Lord has not left us wondering. He says in verse 11, right? For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Therefore, for all these ground clauses, here's the reasons you should obey the Sabbath. Now, I see, there's probably more, I see at least three reasons in this verse. A first reason is because God said so. Here's what I mean, right? I'm not going to just leave it there. We know that's good enough. But God reveals something about himself in this verse, right? What does he reveal? He reveals he is the creator of the earth, right? The heavens and the waters and the earth. He's creator of everything, which means us. And if he's our creator and the creator of everything, guess what he has the authority and right to do? He has the authority and right to tell us what to do with our days. He is sovereign over our days. My goodness, he's the one that even created a day, right? Every creation, every part of creation was the setting apart of a day. And so he's revealed here, I am sovereign over the days. And you take the seventh and you set it apart. So we do it because he said to. He has the right to tell us to do this. And actually, not only does he reveal his sovereignty, but I think he reveals his generosity here. I wonder, what do you mean? Well, if God's sovereign over all our days, he could have told us to set apart 2 days. He could have said, work one and take six for me. He could have said, give me all seven, right? But he didn't. He said, no, you do your work, you do your thing 6 days, and on this one day a week, seventh, you set it apart unto me. I think that's pretty reasonable, actually, when you think about it, right? Pretty generous. It's hard for us to see it that way a lot of times, isn't it? We want it all. We want it all for us. I think a lot of times we're like this. I read a story once about a beggar. He came up to a man on the street and he's begging for money. Can you help me, please? And so the man stops and he starts digging in his pocket, rummaging and to see what's there. And when he pulls his hand out, what's he pull out? He pulls out 7 $1 bills. And he sees that and he felt compassion for the beggar. It's like he's in need. And so he takes $6 and he says, here you go. So what'd the beggar do? Well, he reached out and he took the $6 and he put it in his pocket. And then he took his hand and smacked the guy across the face and took the other dollar and went off running. Sometimes we can be like that beggar. Six is not enough. Sometimes we've got to have it all. God's called us to set aside a day because he's the right to. And see God's sovereignty, but not only his sovereignty, but his generosity, right? He could have done it any way he wanted to. He just asked for one day. So there's the first reason. Second reason I see in this verse is this is one of the means by which we are to fulfill our purpose for even being born. Do you see it? What's our purpose for being born? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever, right? How do we glorify God? We glorify God by bearing His image in the world. Well, what's that mean? Well, that means we live and act and do and speak as God would, reflecting who He is. And when we do that, people see us, see God in us, and it reflects up to Him. Well, how does the Sabbath do that? Well, God says so right here. He said, in 6 days, what did He do? He worked. He created. But what did He do on the seventh day? He stopped and He rested. So every time we do that, when we work 6 days like we should, and then we stop and rest on the seventh day, we actually reflect the image of our Creator and therefore point to Him and give Him glory. Because the whole reason we do it is because He said so, and the whole reason He said so is because this reflects me. And believe me, when you are able to do this in a world that is so busy, is the world busy? I mean, everybody is striving and going after what they think they need, and they're just always going and on the move. And if they see you, I'm just going to stop here and enjoy the Lord. That's going to shine. That's going to be like a light in the darkness. And if it's done the right way, it's going to point straight up to the Lord like it's supposed to be, right? You reflect the image of God. I love Truett Cathy. Sometimes I wish Chick-fil-A was open on Sundays because I'd like to stop and get some of that good chicken. But the truth is, man, everybody knows who he serves. And he got how many servants has he got under him? And he's responsible for all them. And he says, no, y'all take the day off. Y'all serve the Lord. That glorifies God. Well, there's another purpose. It brings glory to God because He said to do it. And then it's for our good. I said this before. The Sabbath's a gift of God to us, given to us, for our good. Jesus told us that. He said, man was not made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for who? For man. So God did this for us. And it's even in the verse that it's for our good. You see that? What did God do with that seventh day? Blessed it and made it holy. Did you know that the passage this refers to in Genesis, the creation account, says where God rested on the seventh day, therefore he blessed it and made it whole. That's the first time in Scripture that we're told that God blessed anything. First time he blessed anything, what was it? This day. This day has been blessed by the Lord. If it's done according to the purposes for which he has set it apart and blessed it. Think about that. There is a blessing tied to the Sabbath. God said so. We got to believe it. We got to have faith in it and walk in that. Well, how's it a blessing? Well, there's probably a million, but I can think of three right off the top of my head, right? And the first one is this makes us rest. And I'm talking about just physical and mental rest right now. We're not meant to go 24/7. But boy, I tell you what, if there's something we deem we need, and we deem we've got to have, we will put our shoulder down, put our head down, and we'll go full bore, and we won't stop until we blow a gasket. God's not made us that way. We are optimally made to take a day of rest. And this blesses us with what we need. Our Creator made us. He knows us better than we do. Well, I don't need that day. I'm fine. You don't know nothing. He knows everything. And he says, you need this. So see the blessing of, it just makes you do what you need to do. One commentator said, frankly, we need a commandment to make us rest. Think about that. So it gives you the rest you need. It also, second blessing, it gives you the time with the Lord that you need. You need time with the Lord. Yes, you do. I think most of us in here would agree intellectually that it is best for us to spend as much time with the Lord as possible. Would y'all agree with that? It's best for us, isn't it? That we spend time in prayer and in the Word and meditation. Yes. But then we say things like, I wish I had more time to read my Bible. I wish I had more time to pray. I wish I had more time to memorize Scripture. I wish I had more time to do the things the Lord's called me to do. He's given you a day every week to do all these things. And it's not about the doing, is it? It's not about the doing at all. It's about Him. That's the glorious truth I want you to begin to see in this passage. This is a gift to us to have Him. And this is a blessing. There's another one. This will teach us to rest. I mean, truly rest, spiritually rest. This will teach us how to do that. What do you mean? Well, look, the fulfillment of this commandment is Jesus, right? He actually is the fulfillment of every commandment. You pick one. He's the fulfillment of it. He's the fulfillment of this commandment too. Well, how? Well, Jesus is our complete rest. Well, how? We don't have to work for our salvation. That's how. Jesus has done the work. Jesus has taken the wrath, the judgment for our sins upon himself when he went to the cross. Jesus has given us his righteousness. He's worked that out perfectly. And he said, here you go. It's on you. He's forgiven us. And so we no longer ever have to strive to make ourselves right with the Lord. We no longer have to try to figure out how to get in favor with God. It's done. And so if you have this day set apart every week, will you remember that? That's what I mean when you remember the gospel. Jesus said, come to me, I'll give you rest. That's what he's talking about. My burden's light, yoke's easy. Why? Because I've done it all. All you do is rest in me. And brothers and sisters, if we do that, if we take a day and we start remembering him in that all day long, yes, then that'll begin to teach you and that'll carry right over into every day of that week. You can rest in him all week. And then when you start getting weary after you've been away from him a while, don't you? Well, guess what's coming? I got another day, just a week. I got another day to rest in Christ is to actively do these things and lay these things down. Why should you keep the Sabbath? Man, God's blessed it. It's for your good. There's the why. The what. Now let's move into the how. Remember I said there's more questions with this commandment probably than all the others. And this is what I mean. Well, how do you do it? Well, I can tell you this. We have to start here. We must not do it legalistically. Right? If we learn anything from the Pharisees, you see how not to keep the Sabbath. If you learn anything from them, see your tendency as a human being who's sinful to want to keep it legalistically. Right? So back to that rest thing, we start off with the principle of this. I do not base my position and relationship with the Lord on what I do on Sundays or the Lord's Day. I don't do that. Right? My position with the Lord is based on what? His love for me, shown to me by Jesus on the cross, given to me by His grace. That's what you base that on. So you don't start there. Never start there. Okay, what else does it... Well, this also means that we do not begin to look at others and judge them for how they do or don't keep the Sabbath. You know we've got that tendency. The Lord start moving on us to do something. And we start showing us things like, wow, why didn't I see that before? And then before you know it, we start looking at others and saying, you know what, they're not doing that. Oh, they're doing it wrong. We don't look at others. We let them stand or fall before the Lord, right? Nothing wrong with calling somebody, hey, delight in the Lord here. But you allow them to stand or fall before the Lord as He leads them to do it. And we also don't do the opposite. We don't see others actually being convicted of the Lord to do a certain thing and you're not. And you go, and you start to get upset about that. We're not supposed to be looking at each other in that way. We're to be looking out for each other. And we don't judge others on how they do or don't keep it. That Paul talked about a lot about that in the New Testament, about all these details of how you live this out. You let the Lord work on each individual. They got to stand in there. They got to have a clean conscience. And you just serve the Lord. But everything you do, do it to His glory. And then lastly, let's not make a bunch of regulations of what we can and cannot do on the Sabbath. Right? The list. We get the questions, well, can I mow the yard on the Sabbath? Can I do that? Right? Can I watch TV on the Sabbath? Can I do that? Can my kids play Little League on the Sabbath? Can I catch up on my work on the Sabbath? You know, what's okay and what's not okay? Right? Let's not do that. Let me tell you why. If we're doing that, all we're doing is trying to find the line. You know what I'm saying? All we're doing is trying to figure out how we can still be okay with God and then allow as much room for us as we can. That's all we're doing. Don't ask those questions. Because if you do, you're missing the point. You completely miss the point of the Sabbath. That's what the Pharisees did. See, there's a truth here. And this is what I was referring to back at the beginning, what I wanted to bring you back to. What is the greatest of delights? The Lord. He's been teaching us. He is the greatest delight. And therefore, spending time with Him is a great privilege and the greatest treasure we can be given. If enjoying the Lord really is the greatest of delights, then giving us a day to do that is God saying, here, go indulge yourself in the greatest delight you can possibly have. And then if you see it that way, guess what? All the questions, they go away. You don't ask those questions anymore. The problem comes when we, dare I say, we see the day as boring. Because who wants to spend their whole day reading the Word and praying and singing praises to the Lord and catching up on my spiritual reading when I can go out and do what my heart's going after? You see what I'm saying? I'm not immune to this. The Lord's teaching me through this. It's like He's the treasure. And if He is, then you see, oh my goodness, Lord, You have given me a day to enjoy You. This is the blessing. The problem is when we don't delight in the Lord. So we must delight in the Lord. And the more we delight in Him, then when the Sabbath day starts coming, we don't, not only are we able to do it, but we actually will want to do it. We'll want to take a day and do nothing but worship the Lord. So we come back to the how again. It's the same how every time. Fall madly, deeply, passionately in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that only comes through an intimate walk with Him. You do that, you begin to enjoy Him and enjoy Him more. You get a taste. What do you want? It's good. What do you want? You want more. And then you want more. And then you want more. And then we can say, along with David, taste the Lord. See that He's good. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, if you think of the Sabbath, think of David. I want to go taste the Lord today and see that He is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, I just lay myself before You and confess that this is a battle. Lord, I know You've been teaching me how to see the Sabbath rightly and how to answer all these questions, and the answer is to delight in You. And Lord, if we delight in You, then we are just eager to get to this day and to set it aside and just dwell with You and in You and for You, to be of You. You know, that's why it's okay to do acts of mercy and heal on the Sabbath, because it's about You. We're doing that. We're actually walking with You and in You. It's a beautiful thing. So Lord, teach us. Bring us all where we need to be, whatever that is. Again, Lord, help us not to approach this thing legalistically, which is what we do in our humanness and our sinfulness. Lord, let us lay that aside. And let us each one lay our hearts before You and say, Lord, what do You want me to do? And Lord, let us not get up till You answer. Lord, let us see You worthy as You are worthy. I pray all this in Jesus' name.